Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Today's date is Friday, October 13th, Friday the 13th, 2023. And Ross Aid Stadium feels like a Friday. Thank God they play that game on Saturday. Thank God it's not one of the Big Ten Friday night games.
Oh, I would be terrified if we were going to Ross Aid tonight.
Like that. That would feel like a disaster waiting to happen. So we'll be talking about the Purdue game a little bit later in the show. But we wanted to start off about the Maryland game and just a little bit about the game itself, and then get more into, you know, concerns. I mean, still seems like a weekly thing on the show that and all shows that surround Buckeyes that there's just a lot of concerns out there right now. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll finish up the show on doing some of our score predictions and spread predictions for around the country. Mm-hmm. So Ohio State, they win by 20, 37-17. Depending on where you were betting, for most people, that was, a win on the cover. I think like earlier in the week, it was up to like 21 at a point. So, you know, anybody that took those odds didn't win. And anybody who took 20, because there was, I think, a couple times it did hit 20. Yeah, that was a push. But yeah. Outside of that, I think it got as low as 18 or 17. I can't remember. But, the Buckeyes covered. That's, what they say, you know, good teams win, great teams cover. So that was a good thing. Talk about the tail of two halves. I mean, it looked like two different football teams. I mean, not the defense. The defense played very well the whole game. I mean, we can nitpick a couple things throughout the game. The only touchdown they give up to Maryland in the first half is basically on a short field because of a botched snap on a punt. And, Maryland was able to punch it in and score. Mm-hmm. But, you know, outside of that, you know, in one drive in the second half, I mean, Maryland really didn't do much on offense. You know, they were below their, you know, season averages and a lot of things. And, the defense looked like a very good caliber defense for the whole game. Offensively, though, it literally looked like we were watching two different teams. Like, it kind of felt like in the first half, I mean, no joke, sometimes, you know, you think about in years past, that first half felt like some of those games Ohio State played against Rutgers, when, you know, the Rutgers offense literally couldn't move the ball and like never could get beyond the 50. That's kind of how the Ohio State offense felt in this first half. And then in the second half, they kind of felt like their offense. So yeah. It's like, I mean, talk about a slow start. And I mean, thankfully for the defense, if that's against better competition, what's coming down the pike, you know, I mean, they could be down two or three touchdowns, you know, even with a good defense, you know, I mean, that they need to figure out how to start faster.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we've talked about it, you know, off camera, off podcast several times together, that it's not even necessarily starting faster. You know, two first downs, if you sputter out on your 8th to 10th play of the drive, whatever it is, and you got to punt the ball, but you flip the field significantly and you give your defense at rest, I mean, that's huge. If you're going, you know, if you're not putting points on the board, at least, you know, make someone drive the whole field and give your defense plenty of time to, or then your offense plenty of time to rest. And then, you know, the flip side of that is giving your defense plenty of time to rest when you sustain the drives. But it's a lot of just like boom or bust, feast or famine type stuff I've noticed this year. That's like, yeah, you're either going 3 and out or you're going one play for a touchdown, and none of that helps your defense get any rest. So, yeah. I did think, I mean, that might be more so, it might not be as, you know, much of that is what I'm saying, because I do feel like in the second half they did sustain things. They were moving the ball mostly through the air. Weren't, you know, they weren't doing a great job running the ball. I mean, they averaged less than 2 yards per carry in this game, 33 attempts for 62 yards. Of course, a lot of that was a negative 20 from Kyle. Yeah, you know, there was a negative 3 from Cody Simon on a horrible, horrible botched snap on a punt. I've never seen a punt snap that bad. I mean, I'm not trying to lay in on the the long snapper too hard, but, you know, but even then, I mean, it, outside of that stuff, Chip still, you know, only averaged 3 yards a carry. Mine was under 4 yards a carry. You got to be better, man. You can't, you gotta be consistent. Passing game turnaround, of course, like we said in the second half, you know, Kyle had 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 11 yards average per completion or per attempt. So it's, yeah, I mean, is what it is right now. You hope to get better. Defense looked good.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we want to make sure we give credit where it's due. Proctor made a huge play. You know, Lathan had a big interception. Defensive line looked much more dominant. Tyleek Williams, I mean, the guy played 70 snaps. He couldn't play 10 last year. I don't know how that happened, but, you know, he's looking good. Yeah, I mean, tail two halves, like you said, you got to take the good with the bad. We can't just be totally down crap on the team, you know, but there are concerns. There's definitely red flags. Like you said, I mean, if it's just 3 and outs against Penn State the whole first half, like,
yeah,
I don't think Penn State's offense is anything special, but man, like they got a stable of running backs too. So who knows if they can sustain something. Watch out.
I mean, obviously we'll get really heavily into Penn State next week.
Right.
I'm nervous of that game. Not so much of the Penn State offense. I just think Penn State's defense is that good. If our offense is just sputtering like that, I just don't know if we can get into any rhythm. And then it's just going to get a worn down defense by the end of the game. And like, I don't know. I don't think Penn State, when I say, you know, they could be down 2-3 touchdowns at the end of the first half, I'm thinking more of the last game of the year, that if they get into like that type of offense, like, you know, Michigan could really put it to them, and where they are literally down like 14-0 at halftime. Right. And it feels like they have and you could say, well, 14's nothing, but yeah, that feels like a mountain to climb, you know, against that offense.
Well, I mean, what it feel like in 2016 against Clemson when you couldn't move the ball and you're only down 16-0, something like that at halftime, you know, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't anything crazy that an Ohio State team can't overcome in the second half. But when you can't even move the ball, I mean, might as well make it 100-0 at that point, you know?
Yeah. So coming down the stretch, those are where I'm nervous about. Defensively, I mean, yeah, like we've said, they were absolutely fine in this game. I like the way this defense is setting up. You know, a couple of my nitpicks is that the linebackers are just a little off right now, and they just need to get a little bit better. I think the motion's really screwing with them, so they have to figure that out, because, you know, they are playing better running teams down the stretch, and if teams that could really milk the clock against them. And if you have an offense that's sputtering out, everybody on defense needs to be at the top of their game. I mean, the secondary is playing lights out. And, you know, I know a lot has been made about the sacks, but the defensive line has done pretty well this year.
They've been playing good, yeah.
I think they could probably maybe be a little bit better against the run, but that's just being a little nitpicky in my opinion. The one thing I did like about the defense of this game, and I hope going forward, you know, they really lay into this, and it's nothing against Jack Sawyer. I just think Jack Sawyer, and I know other people have mentioned this, Sawyer and JT are very similar styles, and it's fine maybe on first downs to have both of them out there together, one on each side. But I think as you get into later down situations, and possibly when the other team is down and stuff like that, I think Jack and JT probably should be rotated with each other. Obviously, I think more JT on the field than Jack. It's just better. I think they showed a lot better when Curry was up, and Kenyatta got in there too at some, but you know, Curry was, I think, in there more. So I think they have a real pass rusher on the other team, and that's even better for JT, because at least put some focus. The offensive line has to put some focus towards the pass rusher guy. And JT, as that game went on, was becoming more dominant too, because you know, that he had a true pass rusher on the other side of him. So, like, I just think going forward, that's probably the best way to do it. I'm really liking how Knowles is calling the defense, though. I think he has learned a lot about himself from last year that I think, you know, before, you know, he's talked about this before, that he always had a like scheme up crazy blitzes and stuff like that. That was like, you had to be boom or bust when you were at Oklahoma State and Duke and, you know, stuff like that. You don't have to be so boom and bust now, but it's nice to have a couple booms in there. And, you know, once you start getting the feel of calling those blitzes, like you don't have to blitz them all the time. Sometimes you can show them and not do them. And then other times you can show them and do them.
Right.
And like, so I like how I like the, you know, the sack that Sonny had or whatever in the game. You know, he said that he was holding on to that play in his pocket and waiting for that formation the whole game. So, you know, that's a good defensive coordinator there. And so like, I'm happy with that. So, you know, I think that's pretty good state with the defense. Offensively, so I guess, I mean, the elephant in the room is definitely the running game and the offensive line, though. So, I mean, and they're intertwined with each other in a lot of ways.
Oh, sure.
I think that with that running game, I do think they do need to lay more into the passing game. That is their bread and butter. You do need to keep, you can't have less than 2 yards on the ground, though. Like, you know, you can... like you can run the ball only 20 times in a game. If you get the ball, if they like, say they have, they're what, probably averaging around 63, 65 offensive plays. It kind of seems like, I mean, I know we haven't really looked into it, but kind of when you go down the rundown, it seems like they've been in the mid 60s for most of the year.
Yeah. Well,
you
know, I want to say 62 in this game, just looking at the numbers, trying to crunch them in my head.
Yeah. So, okay. So if you run the ball 22 times a game and can kind of average 4 yards a carry and then the rest is passing, like that's where I think this team should be at. Like, I don't think they should be down to where they're only running the ball 10 times in game, but I definitely don't think that they should be at, you know, we need balance. Let's try to run the ball 25 times. And because at 2 yards a carry, that ain't good. And, you know, that's putting a lot of pressure on the passing game at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like, just growing up in the Midwest, you know, I don't think I ever liked to see 40 passes in a game. You know,
and weather is going to become a factor and stuff, but you can scheme that, like bad weather. Like, you don't have to be throwing the ball, you know, 30, 40 yards down the field the whole game. Some of those are nice. I mean, you got to be careful with the wind, like obviously last year in the Northwestern game, but like, hey, you can come up with some stuff. You can do some short passes. You got athletes all over the field. Come up with some schemes for them and, you know, do some stuff. I mean, you don't have to be going crazy on, like, you know, if the weather is not letting you go down the field, then you don't have to go down the field. And when you get into bad weather, like, let's say it's, you can still throw the ball in the rain and in the snow. The wind has a lot to do with that. And then, you know, some of the wetness, but there's, you know, not all rain is created equal. There's rains that really drown that ball, and then there's rains that don't. And so it's like, you gotta kind of figure that out, but you can still pass and all that stuff. And, you know, and again, the way your defense is playing, if you get in a bad weather game, scheme up some stuff to get a couple first downs and then punt it. Eventually, yeah, you gotta go score a touchdown, a couple touchdowns, but, you know, rely on your defense some in those situations.
Yeah. And I don't know how much not having Trey in this game hurt the team. I just feel like, you know, when you talk about like Chip and Mayan, and we don't have to focus much on Dallin Hayden redshirting or not, you know, but when you're talking about those guys are too good for him to see the field and you're getting less than 2 yards per carry, you know, as a team, then I think you should be expecting more out of them. Like, I, you know, and to say Trey wasn't playing, so you know, we can excuse that. I don't think it's excusable. I mean, either one of those backs should be able to come in and be able to produce. And
yeah.
And I do think run scheme is an issue. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is just pass the ball more. Maybe you need to go to a gap power scheme instead of zone blocking. I mean, I saw someone put on Twitter that, you know, Ohio State ran to the boundary and Maryland just, they they're like, most likely they're going to run it to the boundary. I mean, they had all their defensive linemen, all their linebackers to the boundary gap. Like, man, Ohio State needs to either be able to recognize that, or they got to ask their line to do something different on that play. I mean, one, to combo block a guard, you know, getting to a guy that's over the center's left-hand shoulder from the right guard. I mean, that's hard for him to get to, especially if that guy's already penetrated, you know, that center's gap. So I don't know if the left side of the line, if they're not taking their, if they're not stepping quick enough, or, you know, what's going on there, but they got to be all a, either get to the second level on those gap schemes, be able, or zone schemes, excuse me, be able to, you know, use the double or use their combo blocks to be able to get up there, or they need to figure out something different to be able to block the linebackers and just go gap scheme. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on run game coordinating or offensive line. It's just something isn't working there. I don't think, you know, the running backs still see the holes particularly well, but
no, I don't think they do.
But you know, there's got to be some fix, or like you said, it's time to mask it, and you just go, you know, short passes, get the running backs more involved in the pass game, figure something out. I mean, our coaches, you know, supposed to be an offensive genius, and I was thinking about this earlier. I mean, 2014, Cardale Jones comes in, and they have to run a completely different offense for three games, but Tom Herman figured out a way to, you know, do what Cardale did best, scare teams that he's going to do what he can do, and then use that to their advantage and just run all over them. And then if they brought those safeties up, he could throw it over the top. So I don't know. I just feel like maybe we're too reactionary on things, and we just need to figure out, you know, what we can do best and attack that way. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for it. Like I said, I'm not some X's and O's guy, but something's broken and shouldn't be. We have all the skill talent in the world. We've been one of the best skill talent recruiting teams in the country for years now. Like, you got way too much talent to be sputtering out like that. You got to start faster.
I think and then just kind of the last thing on this, and then we'll move over more to the offensive line. Again, scheming up different things like we were talking about, they love to run the deep play actions, and they love to run RPOs into, you know, like off of receiver screens and stuff like that. So, you know, they run RPOs kind of like at the line of scrimmage. They don't really go downfield that much. And I think the best place where they're not attacking is attack the middle of the field a little bit more. These linebackers are coming up really fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, it just seems like you don't need to set up a play action for way deep the field. Like, start killing these teams a little bit intermediately, and maybe that will force the linebackers not to react as fast to those run plays.
I agree.
You know, and I mean, I think they need to ditch the stretch run, but if they need to run it less in the game, and they need to get it to some of those, you know, play actions and stuff like that, and RPOs to the middle of the field a little faster, in my opinion. But they do. I think inside gap, when they've ran that this year, I think they run better off of that. The offensive line's more comfortable in run blocking. They're still not perfect in any stretch of the imagination on those, but at least that, you know, they're getting to people and hitting people where it's just they're just not good. This is not a good blocking line for the stretch runs. Like, it's just like at all. And it's more is added on top of it than when the running backs aren't picking the correct reads of where they should be running it. So it's like you're getting hit with a two-pronged sword at that point. That it's like, you know, neither one of these are that good. They're like the running backs. I mean, me and you were looking at different things people were posting this week, and it's like literally the wrong holes. It's like, I mean, they had one where, I mean, Chip would have scored a touchdown if Mayan would have he picked the wrong hole to run up to do a block on that stretch.
Right.
Run.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Chip, maybe not. Maybe the safety gets to him and can take him down. But at that point, I mean, Chip had a full 6-7 yards of full head of steam. I don't think a safety would have been able to take him down.
And, well, like, I mean, it's a jet sweep, and Mayan kept, you know, he kept the play going wide when there was a hole that a jet could have landed through. And if he would have went up there and just hit one linebacker, I mean, yeah, maybe the other, you know, back or cornerback, I can't remember who's being engaged that they had.
Yeah. Maybe the guy who's on the line.
Maybe he could get back in the play. Maybe. I don't think so. But at that point, you know, that's a guy that's engaged in a block with, I think it's G Scott. It might've been Stover. So even then he still has some resistance, like to try to make the tackle. And then you're talking a safety against Chip going downhill. I mean, maybe it's not a touchdown, but it's more than a 2 yard gain, you know, like,
yeah.
It's just stuff like that. Like you gotta be able to see that stuff. And I just like, that's where a lot of what's most frustrating to me is just the development in the run game isn't there. Just things that people weren't seeing last year, they're still not seeing, or, you know, 2 years ago. Like, I don't understand. I feel like there should be a natural progression. That guy should be getting better at this stuff. And it just doesn't seem like they are, no matter who they're plugging in and, you know, what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that's the most frustrating part.
Yeah. And this is kind of, and I do, I mean, we don't really have a lot of time today on the Dallin Hayden stuff, but
we don't have, yeah.
I just think that he's probably, when you talk about vision and stuff like that, he's probably your best running back when it comes to that. And I'm against anymore, whether you have transfer portals and you have guys leaving for the NFL after three seasons. And I'm against skill position. It's one thing when, if you're developing offensive linemen, I'm against skill position players redshirting.
Just like,
you know, like play them. You get four games to play them, you know. And so even if you're going to redshirt them, like put them in there against Maryland, and then maybe you decide, well, now it's not even worth redshirting him because he's that good, and let's see what he can do.
Right. I think there was enough early in this game in the first quarter where you don't score that there's urgency that you can say, hey, we got to put Dallin in today. Like in theory, yeah, this could be a great idea, keeping him for an extra year because he has the guys in front of him, until you lose a game because you couldn't run the ball.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what if? Well, we don't know if Dallin would have made a difference. Yeah, we don't, but he probably could have, you know, like he saved their butts last year against Maryland. So yeah. I thought there was enough in this game early to say, hey, let's see if Dallin can open something up, see what we got, because then the next time anything happens, or if Trey needs a spill, or if he gets hurt, whatever it is, you know, you have more confidence in the guy and you're like, hey, he's actually, you know, within our offense, he is the second best guy to go to. So
and you got two backs right now coming in next year. So, you know, that's the point of recruiting. Play these kids, play them. You know, and maybe like, I just think that it will annoy a lot of people, me and you included, if next year Dallin Hayden's like lights out running back. And like, and I know there's going to be people who will see, that's why he needs to sit another year, because he's now this guy, because he'd be like, no, he probably could have done that last year. You know, and yeah. And you know, a more experienced line next year might be better for him, but who knows? Like, show him in a game, and if he looks good, then burn his red, and then be like, okay, I think
we're not redshirting him.
We can not redshirt him and stuff like that. And if he doesn't look good against Maryland, you would be like, well, maybe we'll bring him back in later in the year to spell a couple spots. But the idea is the red shirt, he's played two games, we have two more.
Yeah. And exactly. So. Yeah, I just, so I don't, like I said, in theory, it makes sense until you lose a game because you couldn't run the ball. And then it's like, maybe he could have helped, but
yeah,
I don't know what, I mean, what can you prove at that point though? So,
yeah.
And if the flip side to what you said, yeah, people could be really mad if he runs for, you know, 1500 yards, whatever it is, unless, you know, we don't lose a game, that it's like, well, it worked out. But at the same point, he'll run, you know, he could run for 700 yards. He'd be like, see, he wasn't ready. And it's like, well, he didn't get the game reps. So
yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it works.
It's a double-edged sword, you know, it's whatever, but I don't agree with it, but who knows? I mean, definitely could work out for the best. I just don't know if I see him as a 5-year guy.
Yeah, no, I agree. Offensive line. So we've talked about this before, and I'm going to really harp on it now because this is, I've said this multiple times this week. So you know where I'm going with this one, because I'm pissed about this. I'm sorry that Josh Simmons seems like a nice guy. I think he's a good offensive. I think he's an okay offensive lineman. How the heck, when you're Ohio State and this guy who, let's face it, didn't light up the Mountain West, you know, he was decent. He was a decent offensive lineman, but he didn't light up the Mountain West. And you have some big time offensive lineman transfers from Stanford to Michigan looking really good. You have that kid from Rhode Island that transferred from Rhode Island to Oregon, looking really good. You've had Oklahoma. I don't know where he came from, but their transfer offensive lineman looks very good this year. The kid that went to Florida State, that Byers, he looks very good. How the heck can you not, as Ohio State, a team that made the playoffs last year, is, you know, one missed field goal away from winning the national title. I mean, let's be honest on that one. And you put a bunch of guys into the NFL and you cannot go to any one of them and be like any of these offensive linemen targets and be like, we have Trey Henderson. We have Chip Traynham. We got this receiver, Marv. We got Ebeka. We got Stover. We have a young quarterback and we need a line to be blocking for these guys. How the hell can you not sell that to somebody and be like,
right,
you are going to start at Ohio. Yeah, no, I'm just thinking that, that they need to, I don't get how they didn't get one of those guys.
I mean, and I was going to say, like, and you're hitting all the points right there. You're one, most importantly, you're going to start at left tackle at one of the premier college football destinations in the entire country. We just sent two tackles to the NFL, both drafted.
Yeah.
We have all the skill talent in the world around you that we are going to be serious title contenders if that's what you're into. I mean, you hit all 3 points right there, and it's a great university. Like, there's nothing about this team outside of the weather. Columbus doesn't even get that bad compared to the rest of the Big Ten. Like, there is no part that you cannot sell about going to Ohio State. And somehow they're like, well, we got to wait to see if Zemahowski or Tegrish Ebola, if they're able to develop to be that guy, when you got to know what you have. And I'm not trying to take shots at any of them. I think they're all fine. I think Tegra could be a great guard one day. Or right tackle. You know, I think he could be a great run blocking player. Zemahowski, I'm baffled why they have not been able to develop him. Like, he was a win to flip that guy. And I know getting flips from Louisville, I think Louisville can, I don't know who he was going to, but getting that flip, I know it's not always the biggest thing. Like, it's like, look at the offer sheet, but he was supposed to be a guy that they could really develop into a tackle. Enoch Vamahi was undersized when they signed him, but that was supposed to be a big win at late in that cycle that they got that guy. He just had to put some weight on him, but get him ready to be a lineman in college football. And it's like, they've struck out on all these guys. And I know there was a ton of tackle misses that Stud just filled in with 3-star Ohio guys or, you know, Josh Fryer, who's actually done okay. But like, how, you got to know what you have. You got to know what you're losing. Why haven't you been able to develop these guys? I think that's my biggest head scratcher, because we've always talked about, like, linemen. I feel like if you get the right guy that's athletic enough and he's going to have the size, like, you should be able to develop the guy. I mean, you know, and I know just some guys don't have it, but I just don't think you got that many guys that don't have it, you know?
Yeah,
there's something that's not being stressed, or they're not, the coach can't coach what the position coach can't coach what the, you know, the head coach wants them to be able to do. I'm not sure what it is, but there's no way you struck out with that many offensive line. Like, I refuse to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think they might've tried one or two of them, but I don't think they tried them all. And I think that, and granted, when those guys all signed and stuff like that transferred, I mean, Yeah, you were losing three offense linemen. You didn't know if DeJuan was going to get drafted, you know, but you knew Paris was going to get drafted high. So, I mean, you can at least go to this guy, to these guys and be like, you know, this guy's going to go in the top 10. I mean, we need a replacement for him. And I just, Josh Simmons is not him. And I'm like that's, so that's, that just bothers me. And I just think that this offensive line, at this point, and I know they came out this week very steadfast, well, this first team offensive line has really separated themselves from the second team offensive line. But if this is what we're going to see, and you can't make the switch now, I would have almost rather them just started the season with Luke Montgomery. And it's been like, if this is what they're going to see, I'd rather let's just get him the experience, and that he'll be, you know, maybe he can, by the end of the year, he'll be pretty decent, and then he'll be really good by next year. And like, you know, if this is what they're going to throw out there, because the offensive line, and I don't think a lot of Buckeye fans were really paying a lot of attention to it. And I think it took the fact that we were on Big Noon this week and Joel Klatt really mentioned it a lot, that, you know, I think now that is really the focus of the team, and like, yeah, the offensive line is really not playing that good. And, you know, they're not bad pass blocking. I will give them the credit where that's due, but we have not really, even Notre Dame, we've not, I mean, I know Al Golden likes to bring up some pressure, but they're not as athletic as Penn State is. So
no.
I mean, we are going to see how good they are pass blocking next week, because, you know, everybody's minds could change on that, you know.
And Ryan's got to have a plan going in that game, how to attack the middle of the field to keep those guys honest. To go back to what you said with the RPOs, I mean, I think they should have been working them into the system already more so, but you got to have something drawn up, or maybe you do it to Purdue to death to keep Penn State honest going into the game. But you need to have some sort of plan, because linebackers are just run game. And what you're saying against Penn State, I mean, they're going to fire through, and you got legitimate edge pass rushers on Penn State that you're going against next week. And I don't know. I mean, we'll see how the tackles hold up against them. And Kyle's got to be better. He can't drop back 15 yards on a pass like from the shotgun. You know, you already have that extra time built in, man. You got to know how to climb the pocket and not put your tackle at a disadvantage. I thought Fryer had a decent block on that guy that he gave up that sack to.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I get back to some of the play calling too, is, you know, and this fits into the offensive line. It fits into the running game. It fits into the 15 step drops. All we've heard about the clock situations early in the season was like, well, these teams are really giving us a lot of opportunities to sack them, because, you know, they're getting the ball out of really quick and stuff like that. I know a lot of people give Kyle a hard time because of the dropdowns, but this isn't dropdowns. Like, and I know he botched that first play of the game last week. He made a bad throw to Marv, but that's a good first play of the game. And like, you know, let's see more of some of that stuff. And I, you know, that's how you kind of keep a pass rush off you a little bit too, is that you got to come up with some quick throws, because you know, that's keeps them at least a little bit back off on their heels a little bit. But yeah, the offensive line, I don't know. It's like, we'll see how they look tomorrow, even though that doesn't really say much, but it is, I'm getting to the point that I'm starting to get stressed out, that I just don't see the improvement. I didn't see a lot of difference.
Purdue has 18 sacks on the year. So, I mean, they do know how to get after quarterbacks.
I have not seen a lot of improvement from the offensive line from the Indiana game to the Maryland game. And, you know, you could say they looked okay against Youngstown State and Western Kentucky, but, you know, they didn't look great against Indiana. You know, they had spots against Notre Dame. They did okay pass blocking in the second half against Maryland, but outside of that, they're just not complete at all. And I just get nervous that, you know, you already got some big time defensive lines coming mm-hmm. down the stretch, and they could really put this offense in a very bad situation, which then puts the defense right in a lot of pressure.
That's a long ass day if you can't move the ball against, you know, Michigan. I don't know so much against Penn State, because, you know, they might be returning the three and outs to us, but if you can't move the ball against Michigan, that's a long ass day. And who knows, it could be against Penn State also.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the concerns. Anything else you want to hit on the offensive line or any other concerns you can think of before we kind of move on to Purdue?
I feel like we're getting a little caught up into this now. No, let's keep it moving. I mean, we said all the concerns that there are out there, at least for us. So let's talk about Purdue.
All right. So the one thing about this game is that, you know, they are definitely Purdue is extremely banged up. I mean, a lot of their big time guys that, you know, they were expecting some stuff from this year are out. They're not going to play. Some are out for the season. So that is a positive, I guess, that you should be able to probably handle this game pretty easily. It seems like since Brahms left, they've become like a poor man's Iowa, which is sad.
Is there a poor man's Iowa? Isn't Iowa like the poor man's, like, there's got some SEC team or something.
Yeah.
I figured Iowa's the poor
man. I didn't say Iowa was the rich man, but
if you're like a poor man's Iowa, that's bad news, man.
That's like homeless, but
Hudson Card's better than any Iowa quarterback.
That is true. I don't know if he has anybody to throw it to, but I think the defense. I think the defense will be fine in this game. I think they'll continue to show what they're showing, continue to ramp it up as they get ready for the better competition. But I like where we're at right now in the season, where the defense is at. I mean, I wish I could say the same about the offense. I think Purdue's defense could be a good opportunity, though, to get some confidence going for that offense, you know, heading into Penn State. And I think that's the biggest thing right now. They just got to keep trying to get Kyle's confidence and, you know, figure out whatever they need to figure out to get him starting a little quicker. Because guess what? There's going to be a whole bunch of noon games coming up. So, you know, because next week's a new game, too, as much as I don't like hearing about that. But, you know, you got a lot of big noons coming up down the stretch here. So,
have they made Wisconsin official yet? I thought it was a night game, but I don't think I ever actually saw a time listed for it.
Yeah, I haven't heard a time listed either. I don't know.
They still is to be determined on ESPN. I mean, they would usually lock that in.
Yeah,
if it's been announced.
They'll probably not get it in next week because Penn State was to be determined too until this week. So we'll probably find out at next week after the Purdue game, what it is. I have a feeling it's going to be the NBC night game, but I don't know what else is going up against it that day. Is there's what other Big Ten games are going? Like, what does Fox have a choice with? Because if Fox has if that's the best game, then I will probably be on at noon.
Yeah, let's not jump 2 weeks ahead now or 3 weeks. we'll talk about that next week,
I'm sure. I think this is an opportunity. Purdue's defense, that Ohio State's offense, they just need to get going, you know, throw the ball, exploit the middle of that field some. They really need to get into, I think they really need to change their mindset that they need to throw to open up the run. And, like, you know, he does so much of the running game off the pass, so much of the passing game is off those stretch runs. I get that. That's his bread and butter. And I'm not saying you ditch it completely, but I think they need to come in with a different mindset that, like, we're going to throw the ball and keep the safeties and the linebackers honest with that.
Yeah.
And then we'll try to do some more maybe gap running through 11 personnel, keeping our receivers on the field, because, you know, that's what keeps people honest, you know, thinking that they can throw the ball. And, you know, I think they need to, it's nice if they're holding some stuff back for Penn State and stuff, but they don't need to show everything against Purdue, but they need to show some stuff. They need to keep Penn State honest going into that game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, force Penn State to at least work on a few different things. But, you know, I think the matchup going into Penn State, you know, as long as the demons of Rossi don't show up,
that's a big if, man. That's a big if,
you know, I think we could, we should easily win this game comfortably. But I don't know. Nothing's been too comfortable this year. So
No, and that's, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too, is on paper. I mean, especially with their injuries, and Hudson Card, I mean, he holds on to the ball, he gets sacked, he throws interceptions. Like, this should be an easy game for us. I think our defense will do very well, but like you said, one, you're going to Ross Aid, so you never know. And weather might not be the best, not definitely not the worst game, you know, Ryan Day's no. ever coached in, but might not be great. So if you have an offense that's having trouble sustaining drives, I mean, it could get hairy. I don't think it will, yeah. but it definitely could. So, I mean, I think keys are just, you know, get after Card quickly on defense, just play sound, get your sacks, you know, turnovers when you can. Offense, I think it's just sustaining drives will go a long way with the team. I know I said, like, if you get two first downs and sputter out, that's okay because you flip the field, but I don't think they will sputter out if they're getting two first downs. You know, I think, no. I think if
usually when they get first
with this skill, if you're getting first downs, you're going to the end zone.
Yeah. That's all. That's usually been the case when Ryan Day's teams get first downs. They usually are fine. They, you know, they drive the ball and they go score
in the red zone though. Like,
yeah, they need to score
finish drives, man.
Yeah, that again goes back to the offensive line. You have to come up with some more creative offensive play calling.
You gotta, I mean, maybe run with Kyle. I don't know. Like, you gotta do something to freeze people at the goal line.
Wouldn't hurt maybe to try it a couple times a game just to see that, you know. And you know, the way I look at it is that, you know, they obviously had some sort of confidence with Devin Brown coming in the season that they had to have some sort of quarterback competition. So I'm not saying, you know, turn McCord into JT Barrett, but you know, 2-3 times a game, maybe not a bad decision, just to keep teams back, because you, at least you have a backup that you semi trust behind him. So you know you can maybe take a little bit of those risks.
I think it's worth trying.
Yeah, I agree. They just need to try a couple of things. See, even if it's just to show Penn State a few things. But you know, I think they should be able to win this game pretty comfortably, but doesn't mean I don't think there's going to be some ugliness in this game. Cause I, at this point in the season, I think we're going to see ugliness probably in every game on here on out. It's just, you know, how do they respond to the ugliness, and can the defense make sure when they start going up against better teams that the defense still keeps them in games? So,
yeah, I mean, there's some teams like I would hope you can handle Michigan State, but I think you're right though. It's going to be interesting down the stretch.
You want to jump into scores?
Hold on. Let me get to the,
unless there's anything else you want to hit with Purdue.
No, I don't think Purdue's a very good team. I'm not trying to doubt them. I know like Ross Aid's been crazy over the years, so I definitely don't want to doubt them, but if you do what you're supposed to do, and they're banged up too, if you do what you're supposed to do, you should win this game. Yeah. All right, let's go around. I mean, I don't think there's really a great list of games this week. So even like I'm looking for ranked, unranked matchups that I think could be compelling. I don't really see much. Penn State, Massachusetts, you know, that's going to be a barn burner. All right. So let's just go to that 3:30 game then nationally. Let's talk Oregon, Washington. Washington's at home, so they get the 3-point favorite, which means it's a pick 'em. I think Oregon's a little bit more balanced than what Washington is, so I think Oregon actually could win this game outright. I'm going to say Oregon wins it outright.
Okay. And you said Washington is the 3-point
favorite? They're a 3-point favorite at home, 3:30 game on ABC.
I think this is going to be, a classic Pac-12 shootout type game. I think that, I think Washington wins, but I think it's going to be a lot of points are going to be scored in this game. I don't think either one of these defenses are as bad as like say USC's defense, but I just think both these offenses will move the ball. And so, but I'm going to say Washington will cover and they'll win. But it's going to be definitely a lot of fireworks.
Okay.
Looking forward to watching this one. I'm glad they it's on earlier in the day.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. We'll stay in the Pac-12. Not that this is the most intriguing matchup, but Arizona's played really tight the last couple weeks with some good teams. So they got to play Washington State this week. Washington State is 4-1. They are at home, 7.5 point favorite. Do you think Arizona can take another game within a touchdown, or you think Washington State covers? Or, I mean, do you think Arizona wins outright?
No, I think Washington State wins, but I actually do think Arizona will cover. They will, you know, cover the game, because I do think that their offense has shown that they can move and they can score. And I just think with all these Pac-12 teams, that even the ones that have better defenses, that, you know, once they get into these type of games, that there's just going to be a lot of points scored in them. And so, yeah, I think it'll be another probably fireworks game, but I think Washington State will edge it out.
Night game. All right. So in South Bend, USC, 10th ranked team in the country, had a perfect 6-0 against Notre Dame, 5-2. Came off a really tough loss at Louisville. They got bromed just like Ohio State did years ago. So, and I mean, they went through a hard stretch, and Notre Dame kind of just is what they are. You know, like, they're a good physical team, but they're not explosive. I mean, I think we can all come to that point and just Notre Dame, they're a team that, you know, you don't want to be in a dogfight with them, but if you can use your athletes to your advantage, you could probably be okay if you can get to Sam Hartman too. So what do you think? Notre Dame's a 2.5 point favorite. Personally, I think Notre Dame's going to win this game cover. I think they are going to run on USC. I think they're going to, I still don't trust USC's defense, and I don't think USC's offensive line can do enough to stop Notre Dame. Al Golden's going to try to get after Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is great, but I think Notre Dame has two solid cornerbacks that aren't going to get exposed in this game. So I think Notre Dame's going to win. I think they cover the 2.5. I'm not saying they win by like 3 scores or anything, but I think they win anywhere between 7 to 10 points.
If they can come in with the same game plan as they had against Ohio State, I think they're in a pretty good position, because half the battle with USC is also to keep USC's offense off the field. Notre Dame cannot afford to get this game into a track meet, because they don't have the athletes, even with how bad USC's defense is, they don't have the athletes on the outside to really stretch USC's defense. So there are a lot of Mitchell Evans, a lot of that running game. I do think Notre Dame wins this game, because I think that they're going to go in that same mindset and really frustrate USC's defense. And I don't, USC's defense is much more Swiss cheese than Ohio State's obviously is. And I don't think, where Notre Dame could only score 16 points, I don't think that, you know, this is, or 14 points, that this is, I don't think that USC is going to be able to, that defense could be to hold Notre Dame to 14. Like, I could see, I think this is going to be like, I think if Notre Dame could go in with the Ohio State mindset, that game plan mindset, I think Notre Dame should be able to win this game like 24-17, 24-21 in there. But I don't, if the game starts getting closer to the 30s for both teams, then I think USC will have too many horses at the end of the game to, you know, for Notre Dame to really get into a shootout with them.
Miami, North Carolina, USC is at home, 3-point favorite. I don't know. I mean, Miami just lost to Georgia Tech, so I don't think North Carolina is anything special, but I think they'll win.
Yeah, I think they win. I think they actually win kind of fairly easily too. I mean, I do somewhat like UNC. I just think I was waiting for that game for Miami this year. Miami still fraud. Fraud. Miami is not back. The U's not back, even though, I mean, Crystal Ball should have been fired for those end of that game.
Well, you know, he's done it before. He did it in Oregon.
I know. I did it before, and that's why he should be fired. It's been like, that's like incompetence to the next level.
Yeah, that's bad. All right, you ready to go to the Big Ten?
Yep.
All right. Michigan, Indiana at Michigan. Michigan's a 33-point favorite. Noon game. They're not, I don't think they cover this, but they're going to beat Indiana easily.
Yeah. I'm hoping maybe we get one of those Indiana performances, because there was a stretch with Tom Allen that, like, he used to play Michigan, like, really. It was always Michigan, Ohio State. He could play tough to a point, but no, it's not going to be. I agree with you. I don't see Michigan covering, because I don't even think they give a crap if they cover. They could win this game 31-0, like that, and that's a happy game for them. So, like,
and I do think Tom Allen's defense, to what Michigan's going to do, I think they'll match up and they'll keep Michigan. I don't think they're going to let Michigan score at will on them in the first half, if that makes sense. I think Michigan will wear them down somewhere within, like, you know, towards the end of the second quarter. And that's when the points are really going to start piling on. But I could see this being like 7-0 at the end of the first quarter or something, or, you know, 10-0 at the end of the half, Michigan.
Yeah.
Rutgers hosting Michigan State. Rutgers is a 4.5-point favorite. I think Rutgers will cover this, but I don't know. Michigan State's just, they're so hard to, without, you know, with all the drama there, so hard to actually see what they are. I think Rutgers covers. So,
yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Penn State, UMass. Penn State's a 41.5-point favorite. Penn State beats the shit out of bad teams. So yeah, I see them covering this game pretty easily.
When the official, like, what was this game scheduled?
That's ridiculous, man. Like,
did they wait? We're going to hold a non-conference game off, and then once we know when the Ohio State game is,
right,
as long as we get an open date prior to, we're either going to take the open date or we're going to put a non-conference game in there. Like,
I saw someone try to reason this that, well, they started conference play a week earlier than most. We started conference play in week one. Like,
yeah.
What are you talking about? That this is ridiculous. There is no reason that they should be able to have this game there. I'm sorry. I know I'm like the chicken shit Saturday stuff, but I mean, what are we? They're essentially, I mean, if they want to, they don't have to play their starters today. They have no risk of hurting anybody going into the Ohio State game unless it happens in practice. Like, they can go with their backups and they'll be fine to beat UMass by, they can go with their third string and they probably could beat UMass by at least 1 point, you know? So yeah. I don't want to be too fired up about it, but I mean, saying that they started conference play a week earlier is, that's just weak. I mean, it's great strategic scheduling, so good for them, but man, it's just a really weird time of the year for that in the Big Ten.
Yeah, do they send a nice bottle of scotch to the Big Ten scheduling office? Like, can you leave an open date for UMass? We don't want to buy. We'd like to play somebody to keep, you know, fresh, but like, can we have like a non-conference game in front of,
let's put it right in front of the Ohio State game in 23. Would that work for you?
Yeah. And oh yeah, here's this 25-year McAllen, like,
I know, and like, and James Franklin threw, you know, subtle shade at Michigan for the way they scheduled, but Michigan didn't start, you know, they didn't do it in week six or whatever. I mean, at that point, it's just the conference schedule is what the conference schedule is. They can't help it that the Big Ten is garbage who they played. I mean, they're not playing, you know, they're not playing UNLV right now. They're, I don't get how it happened, because this never happens in the Big Ten unless you're, you got some weird year where you don't have any bye weeks or something. So is what it is. Buckeyes got to worry about it. I think the Buckeyes are going to have to put a little bit more effort into beating Purdue than Penn State's going to have to be beating UMass, but let's move on. Maryland hosts Illinois. They're up 13.5. I think they'll win. I don't think they'll cover, though, because I still think Illinois, I think Bielema, this is the type of game that kind of works into what he does well. And I think Maryland's going to be a little beat up from that last game.
Yeah, it's not a good team to play the week after the Ohio State game. Maryland wins, but I think Illinois has been so weird this year. So, but I think that it's like probably like a 10-point win or something like that. I'll go with
Wisconsin has Iowa at home. Wisconsin's a 9.5-point favorite. I think Wisconsin wins, honestly, but I don't know if they win by more than 9.5. I don't think they have that explosive offense yet. You know, their second string, which is a first string running back for most teams, is hurt for the year. So I don't know. I think Iowa can keep this within 10 points.
The crazy thing about this is that, like, Wisconsin could literally win this game 14-2 and cover. Like,
yeah, and that's very true, and that's very that's very plausible too, you know,
like they could win 10-0. Like, that's how good the Ferentz's offense has been. Like, they could win this game 10-0. I agree with you. I think 9.5 is, in a Big Ten West game, is too much against Iowa's defense, but like, Iowa's offense ain't going anywhere.
No,
like,
no.
They might as well not even come. Like,
and I don't think Iowa can score 10 points in this game, but I also don't think that they get shut out. So,
yeah.
So I think Wisconsin wins, but I don't think that they're going to cover that spread. All right. Noon on Peacock in Ross Aid. Purdue hosts Ohio State. Ohio State's a 19-point favorite in this game. I think it's 35-10 Ohio State. So I do.
Damn you. 'Cause that's my exact score.
I think it is a cover. I don't think it's going to look pretty at all times, but I think Ohio State can get to 35 in an ugly game against Purdue.
Yeah. Okay. Just to be a little different, I'll say 38-10. I think they'll
Fielding gets a field goal in there. I like it.
Yeah. But no, it's how I feel like, and I part of me feels like it's going to be a goofy first half where it could be like 14-7 at halftime or 10-7 at halftime. But I just think that the defense is still, I don't see Purdue being able to, you know, march it up and down the field on this defense. And, you know, unless they have Rondale Moore somewhere in that, you know, locker room that they haven't introduced yet. You know, I just don't see that as a possibility. I did see just real quick on the Peacock stuff, you know, before we sign off out of here that, you know, if you don't want to pay for Peacock and you think you're going to a bar, check with the bars before you go, because I did see that. I mean, I know this is not a statewide bar, but I do think they have a couple Columbus locations. I know Wake and Lizard, they came out on their Facebook page yesterday or the day before that they will not be carrying the game because Peacock's not part of their DirecTV package. So, you know, so before you think you're heading to a bar, you know, call the bar and make sure that they have access to Peacock, or you might have to bite the bullet for a month and just pay the monthly fee. You can remember with the streaming services, you can cancel them after the game is over if you don't want to keep it. So
usually like, you can get a free trial too, right? No,
most of them do. I think they still a lot. Most of them do offer. I don't know if Peacock does, but even so,
$6. It's
$6 for a month. But just if you think you're gonna go to a bar. This isn't like when BTN came out and everybody had to find bars to go to because most of the cable companies didn't have it. A lot of the bars are not going to have Peacock, and a lot of them aren't going to sign up for Peacock just because one Ohio State game against Purdue is on there. So just so everybody knows.
All right. Well, that's it, sir. Anything else before we get out of here?
I'm good.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for stopping in for this afternoon session of the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO. Go Buckeyes.
Go Buckeyes.